as Reuven Levi were learning together with Hashem's help. The book Gan HaShalom, The Garden of Peace, A Guide to a Happy Marriage. Guide to a man to teach him how to work on himself, to teach him how to understand the reason why Hashem gave him a wife, reason why Hashem made his wife sometimes act in a difficult way, and the reason why Hashem made the marriage relationship deliberately challenging. And the answer to all of those is so that we will work on ourselves. Because without that, without those challenges, and without that relationship, we would never get the opportunity to work on such deep issues that we need to work on. We would simply ignore them. And a person who's not yet married, he finds after he's married that his life was a lot more simple when he was not married. It is a lot more simple. He doesn't have all the challenges of marriage, of a household, of having to work on his midot in order to be a correct husband, to act in the correct way. And that's really the beauty of marriage. The beauty of marriage is that it's part of the process of correcting our soul. And it's the main part, because it's the main challenge. And there's no greater difficulty, there's no greater challenge within that framework of marriage than the physical relationship, the marital relationship between man and wife. That relationship is home to the strongest lusts, the strongest desires that the man has to deal with. And he has to deal with them in a way which nullifies his own desires. Very difficult, perhaps the most difficult thing. I want to eat chocolate cake. I've got a huge desire for chocolate cake. There's a piece of chocolate cake lying on the plate in front of me. I can taste it already. And I have to say, no, you know what? I'm leaving it. I'm not touching it. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm walking away. That's the a remez, a hint to the job that a man has to do, has to deal with when he's dealing with a physical relationship with his wife. Because the man just wants to act like an animal. That's how Hashem programmed him. And Hashem said, Tov, I programmed you to act like an animal, and I want you to not act like an animal. That's our job. That's called the Yetzer Hara. That's called the Siwat Nefesh. That's called the challenge of life. Hashem gave us a difficulty, and we need to overcome it. Hashem deliberately made me in such a way that I have a deficiency, and I need to overcome it. That's called life. He didn't make us tzaddikim. He made us very, very imperfect and said, I want you to perfect all of those things to become a tzaddik. But you should know they're broken. You are broken. We are broken. I am broken. We are broken and we need fixing. And the first stage in being fixed is to recognize that we're broken. If we walk around pretending that everything's good and everything's fine, then there's no fixing going on. I don't need to fix anything. Nothing left to fix. Perfect. What's to fix here? It's great. Look at me, I'm great. Nothing to fix here. No, no. No. So the first thing we have to do is recognize that there is what to fix. And there's no greater area that needs fixing than this area. Because this area is very broken. This is the lowest. This is our lowest place. This is our lowest place. Right? Why? Because it has the potential for the holiest of holiest. Right, the holiest of holiest is to be together with a man and a wife in Kedusha. Together, they're joining together. That's the yichud, the unification of the souls of the man and the woman together. There's no greater thing. As a result, it produces life. You see how special it is, because it has the potential to create, to be like Borei Olam. At that moment, you're being potentially like the creator of the world. You're bringing something into being, something from nothing. Only the creator can make something from nothing. Except, perhaps, at that moment when you're unified with your one. So because it has such greatness and such holiness, so there too, we also find the lowest. Right, there too has the potential, right, because that's where the prize is, that's where the holiness is. So it's going to be surrounded and surrounded and surrounded by all possible layers of tuma, let's call it, which come in many different shapes and forms, and there's many, many layers, and we have to peel them all off. And wherever we are, we can be sure that there's more layers to peel off, right? None of us have yet got to the level of, I don't even know who to say, got to the level of someone without sin. So for sure we're not together with our wives in pureness. So we have layers to peel off. Some layers are very far. Like some layers are, chas v'shalom, we already peeled them off long ago, Baruch Hashem, hopefully. Right? Can't even speak about them. they're so damaged. Right, Baruch Hashem, we're not on those layers. But we have our own layers that need peeling off. Right? Those layers that surround the holiness of the situation, and whether we are acting for ourselves or acting for our wife, or even higher, acting for Hashem. Right? We've got those three levels: acting for myself, I'm acting like an animal. I'm taking, just interested in myself. Dog, that's where 99.999% of everybody's holding right now. Just so we're aware, it's not a chiddush. Right? I'm in it for myself. When I see the chocolate cake, I like chocolate cake, I'm not even thinking about anyone, I'm eating chocolate cake. Dog, tastes nice. And we may remember to thank the kind lady that baked it afterwards, but certainly not during. So thinking about myself. So then next step is thinking about my wife. And that is a whole process in itself. It's not simply, oh, okay, I'm thinking about you. No, it's actually thinking and acting for her. Right? This is meant to be a mitzvah for her. For her mitzvah. It's not for mine. It's not for my enjoyment. It's for her enjoyment, so to speak. Although we've learned that her enjoyment is not from the physical act itself. Her enjoyment is from the being close to her husband, from feeling connected to him spiritually through that act. For man, it's not. Man has no concept of that. A man is still enjoying the chocolate cake, right? And the whole spiritual experience passed him by, probably. Maybe, top, depends where he's holding. Maybe get a little bit. But for a woman, that's her main thing. So, husband needs to put that. And then, even higher, is to realize he's doing it for Hashem. He's doing a mitzvah. To get to a level, the Gemara says, Rav Arash is not afraid to bring it in his book, Gan HaShalom, and in his book, Brit HaShalom, that there is a level which is that a man does not get any enjoyment whatsoever out of that. He doesn't. Gets no enjoyment whatsoever. And in fact, he finds it extremely difficult and painful. And he's only doing it because it's what Hashem wants, and it's for the sake of his wife. And he brings that to not as a realistic possibility. Yeah.
Do you mean physical satisfaction or spiritual? Is that Zadi still having a spiritual satisfaction?
Yeah, knowing that he's doing Hashem's work.
Ah, okay, so it's not even a spiritual connection with his wife, with someone's wife.
Tom, I don't understand either, because I'm not there.
Okay.
So we can only talk about it in the third person, if you like. But I'm assuming from what I understood, he's happy that he's made his wife happy, and he's spiritually connected to her, but he's doing it as a mitzvah for Hashem.
But then won't the wife know if he's only doing it for Hashem?
So that's the other part of the equation is, that when he says that when you get to that level, you have to make your wife imagine that it's the best thing for you. That you're right. That you're. Well, we learn in is in Brachot, where I can't even remember the name of it. He's hiding under his Rav's bed. He's hiding under his Rav's bed, right? In order to hear, which is what the Talmud needs to learn. How else is he going to learn? They didn't have books. They didn't have videos. So you need to learn how to be with your wife. Right, so the rabbi found out, realized that he was there, he kicked him out and said it's not appropriate, right? But afterwards, the Talmud asked him a question. He said to Rav, when I was there under the bed, I have a question. I heard you speaking to your wife, and it sounded like, he phrased it in a metaphor, he says over there, it sounded like a person, I can't remember exactly the metaphor, but it's roughly this, that a person who, you sound like a person who hadn't eaten food, who hadn't tasted food in a long time, right? That you were, and the Rav explained to him that he, you're right, 100%. That's exactly how I sounded, but it was in order to make my wife happy. So he was saying how excited he was to be with her, how wonderful she was, how amazing she was, right? But not because that was how he's really feeling. He was saying that for her in order that she would feel good. That she would feel wanted and loved and desired.
That's from my level. And yes. I don't understand because that's obviously a very high level. But the whole thing we talked about breaking the foundation is that the woman's going to feel 1,000% authentic. Are you with, even not outside of this context, but just seeing her.
It's a wonderful question. It's a wonderful question. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you.
I think what I'm hearing is it's not it's on that level where they have no gratification on it physically.
I think the answer may be that every word he says still has truth within it. Although not the truth that we would say, not the very, base, raw, right? But on a high level, you're amazing, you're beautiful. He's talking about her neshama. Your neshama's amazing, your neshama's the most beautiful thing ever. Right? He doesn't mean physically. But he's saying the words in order to make it. So we're talking about high levels.
The words, even though, right, they still contain truth.
It's not hard, and therefore she still feels the truth.
Right.
So bringing it back to where we're holding, which is let's go way back down. We're fighting very hard to get out of acting like an animal, which is the truth, and we have to know that. But that's fine, because that's our fight, because that's where Hashem put us. And Hashem doesn't want us to imagine to ourselves that I can close my eyes and this is L'shem Yichud, Hashem, Brichu, and it's all fresh, right? He doesn't want, it's just angel of death, right? I'm pretending I'm an angel. It's not happening, it's not real. I need to know where I am, and I need to pray to Hashem that He helps me grow. A little bit, to move from where I am now. Because from where I am now, I'm minus 420 on the scale of not very good. So I need to move from minus 420 up to maybe minus 450. That's my task today. And if I achieve that, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to be happy. Because there's no way Hashem is going to flip me from minus 420 into positive numbers in one. Doesn't matter how many hours I've done in the Hibbodah in the field, it's not going to happen. Hashem's not going to destroy me in that way. That He's going to turn me into a tzaddik overnight and that I've blown it, I've destroyed myself. I'm going to think that I'm tzaddik material. No. Hashem wants me to know I'm still very low. Still very, very low. But I'm getting a little bit better. The fact that I get a little bit better encourages me to keep going. And the fact that I know I'm still very low keeps me humble. And that's the best position to be in order for us to develop, to grow. We have to move forward, but still feel that we've got a long way to go. A long way to go. But there's a tightrope, because we've got to feel we're low, but not fall into despair. What's the point? And or castigating ourselves, I'm terrible, you're not good. Right? Hashem knows that tightrope. We have to trust Him that even though It's very difficult for us, because once we realize actually where we're holding, if Hashem opens our eyes and actually shows us where we're holding, then it's very difficult, because I'm acting like a pig. And I'm embarrassed, and I'm feeling terrible about myself, but I can't change it. That's a very painful place to be. Very painful. To know I'm acting like a pig, and I can't do anything about it.
That's a kindness though, because then you can just talk to Shem and then ask for help. Because if you don't know that,
In theory, I'm just saying, in practice to be there. Right? In practice. But, if I realize the impact I'm having, like what I'm actually, the damage I'm causing, and how, if I, Hashem's very kind, doesn't really show me how bad I am. Because if I really got the picture, I can get up off the floor. Right? And he's kind. He kind of like, he throws a little bit of light in there and says, you should know it's not so good. I'm like, okay, it's not so good. It's okay. I'll stick with that. It's not so good. You're off me? And I'll, because that's what I can take. I can deal with, it's not so good. Well, Hashem. Sorry, I just can't hear you very well.
And if they want to see the good, the first thing is that all I made was good, the first one was down. I was walking in the street, and then the taxi driver stopped, opened the window, and said, "You idiot!"
You what?
Idiot.
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 Right.
Hashem will be in this moment, no more down. We come from Hashem. And you say, oh, he stopped, opened the window, and then he
came. There's a big idea.
But then I understand the message. I understand because I'm like a fully in depression.
There's a big idea that when we get.
She's me back, why you sent me to this land, and come on down. Understand?
What happens is that when we do that, we get depressed, we get sad, we open ourselves up to all of these bad things happening, because everyone just piles in, like all the kitrogim, everything. It's like spiritually, it's spiritual suicide, which is very hard, which is why, you know, Rabbi Nachman's so big on not being depressed and not getting down and getting yourself up, and right, it's mamash, and it's very hard. It's mamash, very hard. They're huge tests.
It's like an abyss or a pit.
Yeah, it's very hard to get to, because we feel down. We do feel down. I do anyway. I don't mind anyone else, right? And it's very hard to get out of that. And right, so one of the eight sotis, you have to do something stupid, because to get out of that mindset is, you can't logically. I'm feeling down. I'm feeling really bad. You know what? I think I'll start feeling better now. Okay, you're right. I think I'll start feeling better. You can't do it. You can't logically change it, right? Sometimes you're in the pit, the only way you can get out is to do something stupid. Completely sechel, not through sechel. I'm not going to get myself out of this through sechel. I'm not, you know what, I'll read a good book, I'll get out through my sechel. It's not going to happen. Sometimes you have to do something stupid that's completely off, right? And that's the only thing that's going to break me out of this, pit. Yes.
Sorry, I'm interrupting you, but when I was in Uman this year, and yeah. I was struggling, and I was struggling, and I didn't know what to do, so I started playing catch, like with a hacky sack, just playing catch, and that made me smile, and that was like the best day at Uman. And so it's true that you do something silly, like just playing catch, and it can help someone. I mean, I should have been happy in the first place, but I was...
No, there's no should have been happy, there's no should.
But it changed the whole thing, that little whatever, you know.
Right. But we don't know when we're going to be sappy, when we're going to be happy, when we're going to be sad. Right? It's completely not in our hands. Right? You could have the best day in yeshiva. Everything's going really great. You learn lots. You just you were there. You run chores, giving it amazing yeshiva. Come back and come home and you get slaughtered on the way in. Right? Tell them it happens. Right? And then you feel, and then suddenly the biggest depression ever. Right? I wasn't expecting it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. It's from Hashem. Hashem is now testing me. What am I going to do now? Now I put Hashem is going to make me fall into a depression. Why? Because he needs to test me. He needs me to get up out of that. You can't be a theoretical tzaddik, right? You can't read a book and say, you know what, in that situation, I think I'd act in a good, you know, there's no such thing. Hashem has to say, I'm going to put you in that situation and see how you do it. It's the only way to become.
Look, when I was teaching Oman, yeah. I was flying. I sleep only 10 hours in 5 days. I was flying. Uh-huh. I came home to my car after the airport, drive, and the truck crashed my mirror after the car. And I said, okay. And I drive close to my home, the light from the motor, a red light go on from the motor. I was now something problem with the motor. I go to the garage. So it was number 600 children. So he put me in a down. Yeah. We'll come back.
Because Hashem says, right, it's not just theory, it's not just a book. Right, I'm going to put you in that situation. And it's only when you're in that situation, and you didn't ask for it. You're trying your best. Mama, we're all trying our best. Trying not to fall, not to get down, not to do, we're trying our best. And then suddenly, how did I get here, Hashem, right? Hashem put me here. He put me in that place. He says, now, what have you learned? You need to get out of it. You've learned stuff to deal with this. Now he's like throwing you on a desert island and saying, now find your way out. And you're like, oh, desert island, desert. What do I do on a desert island? Okay, I need water. I need a map. No, I need to use my right. So it's the same thing. Hashem puts you in a pit. You're like, oh, and like, I need to get out of here. How do I get out of here? I don't know. What's wrong with that? I need to get out of this pit. But he's given us the tools. And the pit is as deep as the tools that he gave us. So for us, right, we think, oh, I fall into the deepest pit. Actually, it's not. Our pit's like, yeah, it's a few feet down, right? We fell a few feet down, right? Because we have tools that can get us out of a pit a few feet down. We know what we know to make ourselves happy, right? I do some, read a bit of the Ketei Moran, I listen to a Rav Joshi, I don't know, whatever it is, right? It's going to get me out. And after a while, the pit has to get deeper and deeper. You don't want to be in the right, some of the senior tzaddikim, right? Rav Arush. Can't even understand what sort of pit Hashem has to put him in and says, now get out. We have no clue. But if he doesn't give him that chance, then he's not going.
Maybe one way you can look at it is cognitively, like, you know, Joseph was in a pit full of snakes in Egypt, and we're here in Jerusalem, and we took us. Thinking about that, I mean, that's very, very grateful. Because if someone has a pit here, you know, I mean, this is the best place you could possibly be ever in this time.
One of our eights then is to see exactly all the amazing things we have, all the amazing benefits we have. Rabbi Arash, Nachman, these Torahs. Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Amazing things. And we fall. What happened? We fall. So, you fall, right? I was with my wife and I acted like a pig. Tov, it was going to happen. That's what I'm holding. And now, after I realize that, I'm depressed for a week, at least, if not longer. Right? And I'm beating myself up and whatever. It's not true, yeah.
In the book, is the husband encouraged to then talk to the wife about, like, I'm sorry, or whatever, or do you go to the field? Like, what is appropriate? Because her feelings are number one. Do you do both? You know, how does the book tell us?
So, for sure, if I've hurt my wife's feelings in anything, if I didn't like her cooking, and I fell over in that department, which, you know, there's many places to fall, not just in the bedroom, right? So I need to appease her and apologize do what I can, as well as going out in the field. Right? I have to be extremely careful with the honor of the wife.
When a wife cook, she all the day when she cook is in the mind for the husband. She liked the food. He liked the food. He do all the. When we cook, we not think and our wife maybe she like it and so blah. She all I talk on her. She put all the energy, what you're doing in the food for the husband.
Right.
So when you come to the, why you destroy everything.
If a man doesn't say to his wife that he liked the food, she's heartbroken. But if the other way around, if you cooked your wife and she didn't say anything, you'd be like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I might have noticed it, but it was like.
This is raising their question.
Yeah.
Because in a man's mind, one would think, and because a woman is so sensitive, that like this mitzvah, maybe like, is this the most important thing to a woman? Like, or really, like he's saying with the cookie, maybe that's way more important. Like, how do we know where a woman gauges like the importance of mitzvah? Like, let's say the cooking for her is.
This is the most powerfully important. So if you mess this up, you mess the whole marriage up.
Because this is you're
in the Kadosh Kadoshim. You're in the Holy of Holies. Wow. You make a mess in the Kadosh Kadoshim. You made a mess. You made a mess in the Heichal. You made a mess outside the Temple.
Okay.
You can clean it up a lot easier. But that's the most sensitive place.
Okay, I wasn't wondering. The woman obviously is different than a man.
We're completely desensitized. Fortunately or unfortunately, probably for our sake, fortunately, many women are also very desensitized to that aspect of things because of the way they grew up, and especially if they weren't from, and they also had relationships prior to marriage, so they also got desensitized. But once a person starts getting more from, then you start to remove all that tumor, remove all those layers, and you start to increase the sensitivity again. So whereas a woman, maybe initially, especially if she's not from, when you meet her and got married, is very she's not so lax about, doesn't appear to be very sensitive about. They enjoy it, and it's just like, it's not such an important thing, Kilo. It's not such a sensitive issue. But as you and her get more and more from, you remove layers and layers of dirt, and suddenly you get to purity, you get to holiness. And now, if you make a mistake and treat her like an animal, now you're gonna get shechted, because she now feels her own purity that you just walked all over. Whereas before, she didn't really feel her own purity so much because it was also full of layers and layers of nonsense.
Right, because that's like the societal thing.
So
it makes sense. You really have to love the person if they're going to do that. Because it's just, you know, it's such, if you think about, I don't mean to prove it, just the action, it's such a trusting, like, it's such a, you really have to love that man to, when a person desensitized, there will be with any man because they're desensitized.
They're desensitized. Like people in clubs and stuff that pick up a guy and go home or whatever. It's extremely sad, but it's truth. The truth is they're desensitized to their purity and holiness, and they don't feel what's going on.
Right.
But once they start to feel what's going on, which is as the couple grow and you grow in your spirituality, then things which weren't a problem 10, 15 years ago or 2 years ago, whatever, is now suddenly an issue.
Yeah, that makes sense if you just think about just a man and woman excluding everything, just the basic nature of it. I mean, you know, if you imagine, put yourself in the woman's shoes, you're, my goodness, you're really better off.
A woman who is aware and sensitive and is it's surprising that they let men anywhere near them.
Exactly, right? I mean, by the way they're made.
No harm.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
Who would? I mean, you know, exactly. The other way around. It wouldn't let anyone know. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let anyone know, right? But you see, there is a woman. A wife is connected to the husband. She wants to be with him. She wants that connection. She's not looking for the physical thing that the man is looking for. The man's looking for a chocolate cake, but the woman's looking for it. She has a desire, a spiritual desire, for that physical connection to be with him. So she'll put up with all nonsense.
Now, man, this is off subject. When he makes this tea, does he have to come back as a woman? Is it like you say, because
he could do. It depends on his tikkun. It could do, for sure.
That's not what I was thinking about. If someone went to make a tikkun and they came back as a woman and had kids, it'd be better. It's like that whole concept of marriage for a woman would be very scary and, like, in a way, frightening, because it's such a trusting thing.
Oh, but I should have made them with that mindset. I mean, like you and me, we couldn't give birth, right? For sure, the whole idea is just like, whoa.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like. Not even, right? Because we don't have that. She hasn't put it in us to be able to deal with that type of issue, right? But he gave it to a woman. Not only did, even more miraculous is Not only did he put that into a woman's head that she actually wants to give birth, what's even more miraculous is that after she gave birth, she wants to do it again. Right? That's even more crazy. Like, when you don't know, told you could have all these imaginations of how wonderful it is and how special it is and how, right? But after it's happened, to go through all again, top. So we see that we don't know a lot. We just have to rely, right? With the height of knowledge, we realize we don't know nothing. We don't know nothing. We have to take it from those people who know more than us, and who've been there, who've trodden those paths, been attacked by all the brambles and the wild animals, and flattened those paths for us, and made that path now, and said, here's the path, just walk this way. Right? And they had to go through that. They went through the animals and the forest and the night and the fears, and they didn't know what they were doing. They're making mistakes and they're falling and they're getting up and they're falling. They said, there's the path. And then they write it in the book and say, there's the path. Enjoy. Right? And we have no... What debt we have to have this book is
like
it's unbelievable.
When you look in the city, you don't know the city, you have a map. You look at the map, I have to go this way to come to the...
Because otherwise, to have Shalom Bayit without this guide, you're falling, getting up, making mistakes, destroying, killing each other, and then until finally, after 70, 80 years, you kind of understand probably most of the mistakes you made. And now you could probably actually, but you're going to ruin 50, 60 years of marriage before you actually understand what you've done wrong.
But the thing is that that's indeed my bit to do it myself. Hashem, I want not my wife now, not in 50 years. Hashem, you don't know your wife. You live so long together, but you don't know him.
Right.
Because he's so formative.
Right. Yeah. And if I would have known now what I knew then, I would never have cheated you that way. I would have been so much nicer to you. But tell him, that wasn't the way. That's not the way Hashem wanted it. Hashem wanted that before we get up.
I have a question about that, though, because Hashem's the woman, the wife, is supposed to be out for Hashem. So Rav Shalom brings down that when a man ceases to transgress, it's considered as though he never transgressed. So in a woman's heart, if a man at a later age is showing all the care and the concern and doing all the right things, in the woman's heart then, since she's like Hashem, is she feeling as if he had done it his whole life, since it's being done?
Definitely. The woman also has her tests and her situation to deal with, which would include her need to try and forgive her husband, acting like a pig. Right? It's going to be very hard for her to forget all that. And we know that women generally, they don't forget anything. Right? They remember everything. Right? And tell that why Hashem made it that way, I don't know exactly, but he did. And so certainly to some extent, when a man's made teshuva, he's not going to suffer as a result. Teshuva certainly takes away the suffering. So if, for example, the wife was beating up on the husband, remember how you used to treat me so badly, actually he hasn't made teshuva. Once he makes teshuva, she's not going to say that anymore. But she might not have forgotten it. She might still be suffering because she remembers. She's not going to make you suffer because your suffering only comes from your sins. So I'm not going
to
suffer.
So then if someone goes out to the field and they talk to Hashem about it, or the really depressed thing, how do you, like, if it's a sensitive issue with the wife that happened in the past, and you want her not to feel it anymore because you love that person so much.
Okay.
What's the best way to do it? You go to the field and then you talk to the wife, or you don't ever talk to the wife and remind her of it. Like what Rav Shalom, he's very clear that you're not supposed to remind. I don't know if you're supposed to remind.
But it depends. It depends. The person has to have a lot of siyata d'shamayim. He needs to ask Hashem to help him to make peace with his wife, to do the right things. In any situation, we don't really know what to do. And that's just one of the many myriad situations in life. We don't know, should I mention it? Should I not mention it? Should I say something? Should I not? Every day, you're going to, unfortunately, not every day, but a lot of days, a person is going to be with their wife. And they're going to say something wrong. They're going to make a comment that they shouldn't have made, whatever. And every day, you're going to have that, should I say something? Should I apologize for yesterday? Should I just leave it? Day, yom yom.